Go ahead, take out your Bibles and open up to Matthew chapter 5. This morning I want to take some time, and we're going to spend the vast majority of our time in the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bibles out, realize we'll be pretty close most of the time. The title idea is Prepared Inside and Out. And we're going to take a quick picture of people who were just prepared on the outside and how God saw those people. We'll look here, if you look in Matthew chapter 5, I want you to look down at verse 20. Here's Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. It's the way we normally talk about it. Look at what he has to say about the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, scribes are people who not only would copy Scripture, but they would copy down government documents. That was kind of their role, their job. So many of them that you hear about being of a Jewish background probably did copy more Scripture than other things. And yet, the Pharisees, they were all about law. And they were not about spirit of the law. They were about just holding to very specific ideas, even if they went completely against what God had really intended. Notice here in Matthew chapter 5, here's Jesus' judgment on the scribes and the Pharisees. Verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, unless your righteousness goes beyond where the scribes and the Pharisees are spiritually, there is no way you will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not even a possibility unless things start to change. You might look at that and say, boy, that's a pretty sweeping judgment. You might think, why does he even say that? We're going to take a little bit of time and I'm going to show you why he says that. You will see exactly why. If you will, turn over to Matthew chapter 23. We're going to spend the rest of our time in Matthew 23, 24, and 25. Don't worry, we're not going to cover every verse. Here in Matthew 23, I want you to see the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus is talking about. Matthew 23, look down at verses 4 and 5. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. They were quick and ready to pass judgment on everybody else, to put all of these burdens on people, and yet offer nothing by way of help. As if to say, oh, this is what you have to do. Well, how do we do that? I don't know. Go figure it out. But know that you won't make it if you say that. That's the kind of terminology that the Pharisees and the scribes would use. They were real quickly to make the burden heavy, but they never had any intention to help anybody. You see them go back to this idea of, we want to make sure that we're seen as the ones that know. But little did they realize they were seen as the ones who were not helpful at all. He says, they tie it up. They're real easy to do that. Take a look at verse 5. Gives you a little more insight. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. If you look at the first part of the verse, every single thing they did was motivated by, is anybody around to see me? I want to make sure everybody sees and notices of what I'm doing. That was their mindset. And remember, that was the mindset of the people that Jesus had said, unless your righteousness surpasses that, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Period. You might look at the rest of this verse and go, what in the world are phylacteries? Well, God had told them back in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, that they should tie the Scripture to their heart and they should tie it to their mind. Well, they started to take that very literally. And they started tying these little boxes to the tops of their heads. And they would tie these little boxes to their wrists and their arms to keep them close to their hand and their head. God wasn't meaning that literally. He meant, I want you to think about Scripture and I want you to do Scripture. They said, well, we'll just make these little boxes. And you know what the scribes did? They wrote out little Scriptures and wrote them on little pieces of paper and wound them up real tight and they put them in the little box. Wow, get a load of this. That's not it. All of a sudden, it became a contest. Well, my little scripture box is bigger than your scripture box, so I must be a more righteous person. How dumb! Meanwhile, they're never thinking about Scripture, and they're never looking to do Scripture. What are they missing out on? It's all about the outer. It's all about the external. Tassels kind of on the edge of their clothing became something. And so they said, well, mine are longer than yours are. Never going to enter the kingdom of heaven that way. When all you're concerned about is the outer. Now, let's look at a few more of these before we move on. There's eight woes that Jesus lays on the scribes and the Pharisees. And he lays a word on them every time. It says, hypocrites. You guys are nothing but actors. You're hired actors. It says, you're pretending to be something that you're never really intending to be. On the outside, you want to look righteous. But on the inside, you're nothing like that. Later down in Matthew 23, I want you to look at the verses that Matt read for us. Look at verse 23. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He says, woe to you. I pity you because of what you're walking straight into. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, like justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. The Pharisees would come in when it was time to tithe, and they would bring their little leaves of mint and dill and cumin, and they would bring them in, and if you've ever dealt with any of those things in your kitchen, other than the leaves of mint, they're really, really tiny. You can almost imagine them coming up with their little set of tweezers and saying, now we're going to count these out for you. I know there's 1,000 of them, but we'll just take our time. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for me. 10th one for the Lord. And they would spend their time doing those things. Making sure that everybody, boy, those guys, they sure do look like they're righteous. Look at how far they go. They even count their little leaves of their herb garden. They really want to make sure that they are really giving what God wants. And the scribes and the Pharisees ate it up. They loved it. Anytime somebody gave them attention. Oh, look at how great they are. And they kind of break their arm, patting themselves on the back. Meanwhile, here's Jesus who sees the reality. He says, you go to all the time to do that. And then if you notice what he says, in the next verse, in verse 24, he says, you blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. You ever tried to eat a camel? Never looked that appetizing to me. But the idea is they're both unclean, and that and the camel are both unclean to eat for them. He says, you will strain gallons upon gallons upon gallons of water just to make sure you don't eat one gnat. Meanwhile, you are so hypocritical that you'll go ahead and swallow a whole camel at a time. He says, maybe you're missing something. You're all concerned about this outer facade and doing nothing about what's on the inside. And if you notice back in verse 23, he says, you even go so far with these little things and you neglect things like justice, mercy, faithfulness, things that are really at the heart of what God wants, all to make sure you look righteous on the outside. People who look righteous on the outside, will they enter the kingdom of heaven? Not if that's where it ends. Jesus says, unless your righteousness surpasses just the outside, you won't make it. You won't enter in. We'll look at a couple more illustrations. You can read through all this whole section and see it's the same thing over and over again. Verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! He says, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee! First, clean the inside of the cup and of the dish so that the outside of it may become clean also. What would it be like if all of a sudden all we cared about whenever you're cleaning your dishes is, oh, just look at the outside. The outside's all we really care about. Well, I'm going to take it for granted that some of you have washed dishes before, or maybe have that fancy machine underneath your counter that does it for you. You ever pulled out a glass, and in the bottom of the glass, after the wash is complete, still doesn't look that clean? And you go, how did last night's dinner get inside this cup? Do you go, well, who cares? The outside's clean. I'll go get something to drink. And you get, oh, look, meatloaf tea. Fantastic. But you start to notice, we can easily laugh at that, but what if that's really our lives? What if we become a people who are so keen on making sure the outside's clean, and you never even approach the inside? We never even get down to the things that really matter. If you notice it here, he says it again in verse 26. He said it in verse 24 too. He says, you blind. He says, you're so blind. The people who only see the outside as being the important are blind. And what happens when blind people lead? I don't know about you, if you ever take that trip to the Grand Canyon, you take those donkey or mule rides down to the bottom. How many of you want a mule that's blind? Nobody. Nobody wants that. Because whenever that mule is just inches or maybe fractions of a foot away from the edge, what are you thinking? I hope this mule slept well last night and is well fed and is seeing very clearly and has had any kind of surgery that would help its eyes. Right? We don't say, well, you know, this donkey's got the greatest coat. Look at how good it's maintained. Look at it. You don't care about the coat. You could care less about that. Sometimes as Christians, we become the same way. We care more about the outside than we do about what's going on the inside. And if that's where our righteousness ends, at the shell on the outside, we're not going to make it. We're not even going to enter in. I'll show you one more real quick. And notice in verse 25, he says, here's the comparison. You clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside full of robbery and self-indulgence. Well, I'll just do it my way. Oh, it's okay to take advantage of other people. As long as nobody else sees it, as long as the outside looks good, then we can do anything we want to behind closed doors. He says, clean the inside of the cup too. Verse 27, it gets worse. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. I kind of enjoy it whenever you get around Memorial Day and everybody goes to the tombs and they put the flowers out and it really makes things look good. Those that keep the grounds make sure everything's trimmed up and weed eated around. Make sure people go out even with these limestone tombs and everything else made out of granite, whatever. They go ahead and they clean everything up and they get it looking really nice. That's good. Here's the downside. You wouldn't want to open up that grave because you know what's in there. You wouldn't want to smell it, you wouldn't want to touch it, and you wouldn't want to go through that effort. Because you know what's in there is death. And it's only decaying more. If we're people who just care about the outward, not only are we dead on the inside, we're decaying even more with passage of time. And it's only getting worse. And we can become so blind to it that we think we're okay. The blind lead the blind. Jesus put this right in front of them. He said it right. Here they are. He said, here's the problem. You are full of hypocrisy. Full of it. You say one thing, you do something completely different. He says, and by the way, lawlessness. You say, I know what God wants me to do, but I'm going to do it my own way. That's what lawlessness is. We would probably use the term outlaw. They know the law, they just don't care anything about it. He says that's the way it becomes. So here's this progression. All you do is care about what's on the outside, dying on the inside, not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's only one place this leads. And I want you to look at chapter 24 now. Matthew 24, Look at our first two verses. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. It's kind of interesting if they would point this out to him like he had never seen them before. But for some reason on this day, I don't know, maybe they had it shining up really nice. Take a look at this stuff. Verse 2. Here's Jesus' response to all these outward buildings. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." Apparently the outward was shining pretty good that day. And Jesus made his point pretty clear too. It's just buildings. It doesn't control anything. Sincere-hearted people, if this building gets destroyed this afternoon, I think we'll still meet tonight. I think we'll still worship. It's just a building. You don't have to have a building to worship in. Yet, I don't know how many times we have people who come into this building, and I mean visitors, people who work on different things, and they come in, and you know what their first response is? "This is such a beautiful building." And perhaps my first response should be, the worship's what really is beautiful. The building doesn't matter. It's outward appearance. People see that real easy. Here Jesus says, it looks pretty, but it's doomed to destruction. And in case we don't get the picture, look a little bit further down. Look at verse 12. He says, "Because lawlessness is increased." Remember what the scribes and the Pharisees, they had troubles with? Lawlessness. Doing things their own way. Self-indulgence, robbery. Neglecting justice and mercy and faithfulness. Many false prophets, "Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold." What happens when you don't care about what's on the inside? What does it do to love? It fizzles out. Because you don't even care about what's going on the inside, the hearts, the motives. Verse 13. "But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved." Going beyond just the outward. Verse 14. "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." He says, this message is going to go everywhere. Notice what he says next in talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Verse 15. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand." He's saying, take a look at Daniel. He'll tell you a little more. "Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains." What this abomination of desolation is they started to take after, even before Jerusalem is destroyed, the Jews said, you know, let's go into the temple and let's take out the holy things and let's start putting other things in there, like pagan idols. Let's put in there about how we're going to worship these other deities. And you know who gets removed? God. All of a sudden, the heart of where God is supposed to dwell, you start filling it full of everything else, and you rip out holiness. It sounds just like a heart, doesn't it? People who are concerned about just the outward appearance, all of a sudden, what do you start putting in your heart? All kinds of junk. And what starts getting thrown away? Anything that's holy and right. So now what do you have? Nothing but an outer shell. What comes when that's all that's left? Destruction. See this picture as Jesus is going through. He says, if all you pay attention to is the outer, you're dead and getting worse. And if that's where you stay, destruction is coming. And you can count on that. What do you imagine his next thought's going to be? Look at where he goes and see the mercy. You just saw the justice part. See the mercy and look for the faithfulness. Look at the end of chapter 24. Matthew 24. Look down at verse 42. Look at where he starts to go. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. He says it's time to be alert and prepared. If you haven't gone beyond the outer shell, it's time to look. It's time to be prepared. Let me give you a few illustrations of what we can do so easily nowadays. Have you ever been maybe in a public place and someone will gather, maybe they're gonna eat a meal, and you see them pray together. And from the outside looking in, what does it look like? It looks righteous, and it may very well be righteous. But then, as you listen further, all of a sudden, the stories that they tell each other, the jokes that they say, are all crude and evil. So what was the prayer for? Was the prayer because they really want to go after what's holy? Or was it just the outer shell? Now, you can have a prayer for your meal out in a public place and it be righteous. But what if the prayer is just there for show? There's no holiness behind it. What about Facebook? You put on there, you know what? Christian. Great. But then the things that start getting posted are about evil and about furthering evil. Is Facebook evil on its own? No. Man can do that with it, though. We put up things, say, hey, we're Christians, we want to do what's right. And then, what's this smut? What's this gossip? What's that got to do with it? Just a facade. I can tell you a time from my life in high school. I was a hypocrite. I'll go ahead and lay it out for you pretty clear. We would gather together to sing. And I would have people say, boy, I love the way you sing. And sometimes there's a little shiver that goes up me whenever we say things about how great our singing sounds. Because you know what? God doesn't care about the outward sound. What He cares about is there a heart behind it? I used to have a man who sat behind me when I was growing up, and he was tone deaf. There's no two ways about it. He only had one note that he could sing, but he sang it with all of his heart. And he sang those words and he meant them all, because you could tell it from his life. It sounded terrible. Outwardly, on the shell. But the heart made it sound beautiful and rich. Sometimes we look at our singing and we say, oh, it sounds wonderful. And that's great. But at the same time, the tomb can be washed on the outside and be full of dead man's bones on the inside. So what's the secret behind singing? A heart that's right. What's the secret behind Facebook that's possible, that's positive? Heart that's right. What's behind a prayer over your meal that makes it right? A heart that's right. That's what makes the difference. But just the outer shell, not even going to enter the kingdom of heaven. If you notice, Jesus says specifically here, therefore be on the alert. What if we're an outer shell people? It's time to change. It's time to dig in. He says, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming, verse 43. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Because if you think he's coming, he's not. But the moment you don't think he is, be prepared. And you won't be. Because preparedness is about something that's there all the time. It's about never becoming unprepared. What would you think if we guarded a city and he said, oh, by the way, the night watch takes his nap from 1 to 2. What would you do? When would you come? Jesus says, I want you to be prepared. You don't know when I'm coming, but you're not ready now, especially for those hypocrites. I'm just going to look at one more illustration. There's three more after this that all go after the exact same point in chapter 25. Verse 43. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household? Now we're still in Matthew 24. Look at verse 45. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave who his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? What makes someone faithful and sensible? Verse 46. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. He says, the one that's prepared, the one that continually goes after making sure what is going on is right in the heart toward the Lord. He says, they are sensible, they are prepared, and when the Lord returns and comes, they will be blessed. That's the one that's concerned about the heart. That's the one that's concerned about the inside of the cup. That's the one that's concerned about not just the little things like the gnats, but also concerned about the big things like justice and mercy and faithfulness. Flip side, verse 48. But if that evil slave says in his heart, notice what he brings up. Here's heart. My master is not coming for a long time. Oh, it's okay. I'll slough off. He won't be back anytime soon. And begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him in an hour which he does not know. And then if you notice, verse 51. And will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the, look at the word that's used, pretenders, actors, hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In that place there'll be a lot of Pharisees and a lot of scribes. And there'll be a lot of two-faced Christians. Because all they have cared about is the outer shell. Jesus says, if you care about the inside, you're dead and getting worse, if that's all you care about. And if that's where you are, destruction is coming. And it's going to come at a great price to you. The response to those things, it is time to be on the alert and be prepared. You don't know when the thief is coming, so be prepared all the time. You don't know the day of the Lord, so be prepared all the time. Work on that heart. Get it better with every passing day, as opposed to death, where it dies more every day. I told you there were three more illustrations that Jesus uses to make the same point. He starts off in chapter 25 talking about virgins. Some that are wise, some that are foolish. The ones that are foolish, unprepared. The ones that are wise, those that are prepared. The next illustration he uses is about talents, workers. A talent is a humongous wage. It's equivalent to 15 years worth of wages. He says, some were given, one was given five, one was given two, one was given one. And even though the one that was given one knew about the master, he never cleansed his heart. And he got destruction for it. The other two, they grow and they flourish because they're cared about heart. The third illustration that he uses is about the sheep and the goats. They're seeing the same things. One is willing to lift a finger to help. The other group, they'll tie up heavy loads, but they won't help at all. One goes to life, one goes to destruction. What's the point for us? Look at your heart. Ask yourself hard questions, like, why am I doing these things? Is it just for the outward facade to look? Or is it because of trying to get the Lord to help us to clean up that heart? Because whenever you clean up the inside, you want to know what happens to the outside automatically? It cleans up. You clean the inside of the cup, you know what happens to the outside? It cleans up too. It might still have some spots on it. That'll clean up too. You start to notice the picture. Jesus has made this point through three chapters, if we have ears to hear. And I pray that we do, so that we're not like those who will not even enter the kingdom of heaven, but instead will be like those who will be blessed, and the Lord will invite us in and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."